Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy and honour men like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me.
Well, do keep that passage open and we'll pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it is inspired by your Holy Spirit and true and authoritative, your own message to us. Help us now to understand it, to believe it, to take it to our hearts and become more like the Lord Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. I don't know whether you saw the television series Band of Brothers. It was about a group of American soldiers in World War II, and they became the best of friends. They became the best of friends because they fought together. Their shared experiences brought them close together. And as we've been saying, that's a picture of the Christian life. We are fellow soldiers fighting for Christ. Soldiers in war face all kinds of awful things. Hunger, cold, being separated from loved ones, bereavement, even death itself. Our soldiers have faced these things for years and years in Afghanistan. But like the Americans in Band of Brothers, they've stood firm. They've held their ground, committed to the goal of winning. And then, at the end of the TV series, the war ends, and we see the soldiers, the Band of Brothers, playing baseball, laughing together. There's such a contrast between the noise of war and the noise of play. And that's a picture of the Christian life. One day, the battle will be over, and we will be with Christ at rest. We may have faced doubt, depression, anxiety, persecution, martyrdom even. But on that day, we'll be so glad we lived for Christ. Now, how do we keep going in this battle? The lesson of this passage is that we need other Christians. Two headings on the backs of your sheets: the importance of relationships, the importance of encouragement. Chris mentioned five-a-side football. We used to do this on the AstroTurf just across the road in Baldock. Now imagine you turn up with your team and you wander out onto the pitch, and there's just one person facing you. So you hang around, you wait for the rest of the team to arrive. Eventually, after some minutes, you say to him, where's your team? And he says, I am the team. What would you think of that? You'd think he was an idiot. Football is a team game. No matter how good he is, if he doesn't have a team, he's not going to win. And the Christian life is like that. Church is a team. If you don't come to church, you're not going to win. If you don't work with other Christians, Satan will land blows on you. If you don't come to home group, if you don't serve in the church, you will be very vulnerable. We need Christian relationships. We need encouragement. Firstly, then, the importance of relationships. Look how Paul values his relationship with the Philippian Christians. Remember, this is a church Paul founded 12 years earlier. This is a good church. They've been a great support to Paul. Now look at verse 19. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I may be cheered when I receive news about you. Timothy is Paul's son in the Lord, his trainee. And he will be the link between Paul and the Philippians. He greatly values his relationship with them. Same in verse 25. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. So the Philippians sent Epaphroditus to Paul with provisions for him in prison. Now he's sending Epaphroditus back because, verse 26, Epaphroditus longs for the Philippians. He's distressed because they heard he was ill and nearly died. He wants to see them. And look at the language Paul uses in verse 25. My brother, fellow worker, fellow soldier. Is that how you view your fellow church members? Family, co-workers. You have to belong to the family of the church to experience this. If you just come along now and again, or even if you come every week, but you do not serve, you will not have these relationships. And you need these relationships. You need relationships to keep going as a Christian. Paul's relationship with Timothy is very instructive. Verse 20, I have no one else like him who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. For everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. That's sad. Everyone looks out for his own interests, not those of Jesus. How sad. But Timothy is different. Verse 22. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with a father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. That's a very close relationship. I have a friend called Myr Penry. She's married to the senior elder in my previous church where I was pastor. And Maya looked after me as a baby when my mother went back to work. We've always had a very close bond. I have a great relationship with my own mother, but my relationship with Maya is special. By the way, Maya is Welsh for Mary. Maya says of me that I'm like a son to her. That counts for a lot. Then I went back to my home church and served with Maya and her husband Oswald in the church. And that brought us even closer together, because we went through things together. When you serve in the church, you develop relationships like this. Sometimes, of course, they go wrong. Christians are sinful. We hurt one another. And that can cause us to withdraw. There are a lot of lonely Christians these days. Lone Ranger Christians. Yes, they still pray. They still read the Bible. They still listen to talks on the internet. But they don't actually build relationships in the church. That's not right. Equally, it's not right to attend church, but to remain aloof, separate, not making friends, not getting involved in serving. This is not right. Notice something here. Paul, the alpha male, needed relationships. He needed the Philippians. He needed Timothy. He needed the support of Epaphroditus. And if the apostle Paul needed relationships, and more so, if Jesus needed relationships, Jesus gathered friends around him, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Peter, James, and John, the 12. If Jesus needed relationships, don't we need them too? The importance of relationships. Secondly, the importance of encouragement. The Duke of Wellington, who of course defeated Napoleon at Waterloo, apparently was not an easy man to serve under. He was brilliant, demanding, and not one to shower his subordinates with compliments. Yet even Wellington realized that his methods left something to be desired. In his old age, a young lady asked him what, if anything, he would do differently if he had his life to live over again. Wellington thought for a moment and then replied, "I'd give more praise." We all need encouragement, don't we? We all need praise. Look back at verse 19. "I hope in the Lord to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you." Paul needs to be cheered. He needs to be encouraged. Paul will be encouraged if he hears that the Philippians are doing well. If they're doing well, he's doing well. All he wants to know is that they're going on well with Jesus. Look at the example of Epaphroditus, verse 26. "He longs for all of you." Epaphroditus is worried about the Philippians because they were worried about him. He nearly died, verse 27. "Indeed, he was ill and almost died, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow." Sometimes, in the Christian life, we can emphasize the stiff upper lip. And there is a place for this. Becca and I attended a joint memorial service for Becca's grandfather and his two brothers. They were military men. Becca's grandfather's great hero was Wellington, the Iron Duke. And Becca's aunt spoke in the service about how people despise the stiff upper lip, but how in warfare, for example, stoicism is a good thing. And so it is. It's the same in church life. There's a lot to be said for just getting on with things. But there is a limit. Paul freely confesses that had Epaphroditus died, that would have meant sorrow upon sorrow for Paul. And no doubt sorrow upon sorrow for the Philippians. Therefore, verse 28, I'm all the more eager to send him so that when you see him again, you may be glad and I may have less anxiety. I'm strangely encouraged that Paul suffered from anxiety, because I do too. Paul needed encouragement. He needed to be made glad. He needed to have his anxiety for the church lifted. I came across the following quotes about anxiety. What lies at the bottom of the ocean and twitches? Anybody know? A nervous wreck. Haven't you had that one? Thought that would encourage you. Now here's a more serious one. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. The beginning of anxiety is the end of faith. And the beginning of true faith is the end of anxiety. That's a quote from George Muller. George Muller lived in the 19th century. And he was an evangelist and the director of the Ashleydown Orphanage in Bristol, which cared for over 10,000 orphans during his lifetime. He was well known for providing education for the children under his care, so much so that he was accused of raising the poor above their natural station in life. He established 117 schools, offering Christian education to over 120,000 children, many of them orphans. And he did it all trusting God to meet their needs. No wonder he learned about faith and anxiety. This is a really key issue for me in my life. It's a really key issue in the life of the church, I think. How we can replace anxiety with faith. How we can replace anxiety with trusting God. And that's why we need the encouragement of other Christians. The Apostle Paul needed it. Jesus needed the encouragement of other Christians. That's why it's such an important thing to visit the sick, visit them in hospital, to visit them at home. That's why it's so important to be in a home group. It's important to keep up with Christian friends. Have a think now. Do you have a Christian friend who needs encouraging? Pastor can't do all the visiting on his own. It's got to be a team effort. Do you have Christian friends with whom you can be honest? Look at the encouragement Paul expects from the Philippians for Epaphroditus, verse 29. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy. There's the standard for our Christian friendships. This is how we encourage one another, welcome one another in Christ. With great joy. This is the welcome our missionaries should receive from us. Honor men like him. Can we learn from that? I know we shouldn't give people a big head, but honor others when they serve the Lord. Thank them. Encourage them. Bless them. So what will you take away from this sermon? Do you know the story of Jesse Owens, who was the black runner in the 1936 Berlin Olympic Games? And he jumped 8 1/4 inches. That's not, sorry, 26 feet, 8 1/4 inches. Even I could manage 8 1/4 inches. That actually was a record that stood for 25 years. And Hitler didn't want him to win, because Hitler believed in the superiority of the Aryan race, the blonde, blue-eyed German. And Hitler wanted his man to win, who was called Lutz Long. And the amazing thing is that Lutz Long developed a real friendship with Jesse Owens. And he gave him some strategy advice. And in a way, he helped him win. And then Lutz Long was killed in the fighting in the Second World War. And Jesse Owens said, "You could melt down all the medals and cups I have, and they wouldn't be a plating on the 24-carat friendship I felt for Lutz Long." Shouldn't our friendships in the church be even more passionate? Look at verse 30. Epaphroditus was willing to die to serve Paul, because he almost died for the work of Christ, risking his life to make up for the help you could not give me. Epaphroditus risked his life to bring Paul aid from the Philippians. I feel very challenged by these verses. Am I a good friend? Am I a good servant of Jesus? A good servant of the gospel? Are we building this kind of church? Let's take a moment of silence and consider our own response to God this morning. What's he been saying to you? Where is the Holy Spirit shining the light of the word into your heart? Where do we need to repent? Where do we need to pray for help and encouragement? Father, we thank you for your word to us. And we want to be, Lord, a church which is loving and encouraging and supportive, where we're all helping one another to follow Jesus. We're sorry, Lord, for where we fail at this. We're sorry for the times when people fall through the net. We're sorry that we often are more caught up in our own needs than in the needs of others. And so we pray that you will help us, each one of us, by your Spirit, to look out for the needs of others. Would we be a church which is growing in Christ-likeness day by day? A church which loves you and pleases you, and therefore a church where others find you. So we commit ourselves to you now, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.